Wisconsin Medical Society inaugural edition of WisMed On Call, bi-weekly podcast that will take a look at some of the top issues affecting patients and the practice of medicine here in Wisconsin. I am your host, Peter Welch, Vice President of Public Affairs here at the Society. Joining me today is Mark Grappentine, Senior VP of Government Relations.
Well, hello, Peter.
Hi, Mark. And Lisa Davidson, Vice President of Advocacy and Membership.
Hi, Peter.
So just to be clear, we are recording on Friday, February 2nd, and like with all things in the news, things change fast in the world of politics and policy, so things change.
Can I start with something?
Please.
So WisMed On Call is what we decided on. I was very disappointed.
Yeah?
We didn't try the title TM Hal, which is This Might Hurt a Little.
Ooh.
That was my idea that was rejected for this
podcast.
That's
very pessimistic.
No. It's very realistic and it's informed consent, which I think is very important for any kind of informational podcast.
It just doesn't pop, though, like WisMed On Call. You know, our members are on call and we're there. We've got their back, so we're on call, too. So I think it actually flows pretty nicely.
You know, I kind of like that, actually, because, you know, this isn't physicians coming here and speaking every other week. Like we're going to be doing to talk to what our members want to know, and so we're on call for them. Is that the theory?
Absolutely.
But this still might hurt a little.
There's going to be some pain.
There's some realism there. All right, sorry.
Growing pain.
I just want to get that off my chest.
I think it's important. It's a safe space, Mark. So last Tuesday was a big day at the state capitol. We had our annual Doctor Day 2018 and brought a record number of physicians and medical students to Madison to meet with lawmakers. How do you guys think it went?
You know, it's the fifth year that we have done this new style of Doctor Day, which is a partnership among specialty societies, the medical schools, and the medical society. Everyone's on an even basis. It is a complete partnership. There is no lead. It's actually something we tried to emphasize with the media and others, is that this is not the medical society's Doctor Day. It is the day for physicians. It's for the profession across the state. And I thought it was good for a number of reasons. Number one, record attendance, which is great, approaching 500, which is a really nice number. Got a lot of comments from legislators and staff who said, I saw all these white coats coming into the building. I always ask them if they're nervous when they see that, but they said, no, it was great to see. And also because a lot of the messages that were given as part of Doctor Day when the physicians and students were there, before they went to the Capitol for their meetings, they got a lot of information on things, and it was physicians that were leading some of the specialties, it was attorneys to talk about some important cases. But overall, everyone was emphasizing how physicians working together, no matter what organization or organizations they belong to, is how medicine has to react going forward in order to push the good things we want to push and try to stop some of the bad things that others are trying to get done. And I think that message got across pretty well. So as someone that has been kind of trying to help make Doctor Day as good for everybody, I think it was great in terms of organization. A lot of good people put the show together well. It went smoothly. Everything was where it was supposed to be, and lunches were there, and the meetings happened, and things like that. There's always work to do. We're going to do some downloads after we get all the feedback from folks that we've asked for, and we'll start planning again for Doctor Day 2019.
And Lisa, you and I both joined the Society last summer, so this is both of our first Doctor Days as employees of the Medical Society. You know, we've witnessed these things in past years, but what were your thoughts on being on the inside?
I was so excited to participate in my first Doctor Day. Kind of on the outside looking in, I'd be in the Capitol sometimes and I'd see you in all the physicians on Doctor Day, and I just wondered, how do they pull that off? Those are so many people. And now I've had a little insight into all the work that goes into that. I was really energized. But ultimately for me, you know, one of the things that made it the most exciting for me was being able to do a legislative visit with my pediatrician. I really enjoy spending time with her, and the very few times I see her in town, since she's a neighbor of mine. But it was really impressive to hear her talk to one of our state legislators about what she sees from a broad sense in our community, especially, you know, some of the really, you know, critical things as it relates to the babies that are being born at our hospital that are born under bad circumstances as it relates to addiction and withdrawal. She cited a lot of information that I didn't know when she was talking about my own community. So that was really eye-opening. Also, too, you know, the optics of having so many white coats in the building. One of the things that makes that so special, aside from the sheer numbers and how that really demonstrates, you know, a visible representation of our membership, is that, you know, physicians in the white coat right now are one of the most trusted entities. And I think now more than ever, being able to have that trusted figure help have a conversation is really important. So seeing that many white coats in the building, you know, it really demonstrates that we've got a group of people here that is credible and it cares and is taking care of your community. And so being able to put a name with a face for that for legislators and to see the people practicing medicine in their own communities, I think it was really, really terrific.
Yeah, I would echo that. It was really great for me as a new employee to get to see the diversity of opinions and approaches to talking about these issues from our membership. It was also great to have the governor there. You know, we had Governor Scott Walker there, clearly an important issue for his priorities going forward. Healthcare, obviously, always an important issue, but this is the first Doctor Day, right, since the failed repeal at the federal level of the ACA, so certainly healthcare is on a lot of people's thoughts moving forward. So, we got the governor there. He spoke. Mark, what did he talk about?
Well, actually, Lisa, this was kind of your area of expertise. We were glad to have the governor there. And it's certainly something that he was highlighting in terms of what he wants to do the rest of 2018. And Lisa's been on top of this as it has been laid out since the State of the State. So, Lisa, got a little on that?
Sure. So, you know, the current environment, we're seeing, you know, more of a pivot towards states being able to help design their healthcare programs, and now, you know, states being given the authority to help with some redesign of the individual marketplace. So with that, the governor did lay out, you know, a plan ultimately to provide some certainty and some stability to the health insurance marketplace. And really what he wants to do with his proposal is he wants to establish reinsurance. And reinsurance, like it sounds, is insurance on insurance. And the proposal really is seen as a way to do something here in Wisconsin that the federal government failed to do, at least thus far. And the goal is to help mitigate the increases in healthcare premiums that have been happening over the past couple of years. And so the idea here is that we would help offset those increases in the premiums for people that are in the private insurance marketplace by providing a buffer with respect to reinsurance for claims that are above $50,000. So in this move, which will have a process that it needs to move through, really providing some certainty and stability so that people that are in the individual market will have a better sense of what their cost might be moving forward, and that it won't necessarily eat up more and more of the budget that they need to spend on, you know, other items for their family, food, transportation, housing, and all of that. So that being said, what the process is and what the society plans to do on that is the Affordable Care Act under Section 1332 has a provision that gives states flexibility to help design some areas of the marketplace and to basically have a budget neutral proposal that will help maintain coverage but look at doing some things differently than they have done before. And so the state is going to be putting together a 1332 waiver. In order to do that, they need to actually have the waiver be in legislative bill form. So they need to have a piece of legislation move through the process and become law. And that is going to have to happen really quickly because the insurance commissioner's office, that is the agency that has been developing this and will help shepherd this through the waiver process. The insurance commissioner's office wants to see this move very quickly because what they need to do then is after a bill is passed, they have to then go through the federal waiver process that requires consultation with the tribes as well as public hearings around the state, and then from there, put together the waiver in its final form, send it on its way to CMS, and that is the agency in the federal government that has the say over whether or not this is going to be implemented in Wisconsin. So in order to have something in place that affects the marketplace for 2019, things need to move rather quickly here. So the timeline is February for a legislative passage and then submit the waiver in April.
Thanks, Lisa. That's a lot of great information. We're going to be following this moving forward at the Society. It's clearly really important to us and to our members. At Dr. Day, we had, as far as state legislation, four issues that we were focusing on, right, Mark?
Yeah, it's always interesting to try to coordinate what those issues are going to be at Dr. Day, because with all the physicians in the state, they are representative of the populace as a whole, which means they come from every stripe of the political rainbow. So it makes it an interesting exercise to try to get the issues that the vast majority of physicians would agree upon. For instance, the governor's comments, there are a lot of physicians in the state that love Governor Walker. There are a lot of physicians in the state that don't love Governor Walker. But the input we got after his remarks, which were very healthcare oriented, were very positive. I mean, I had some physicians come up to me afterwards and they're like, well, you know what I think, but I really like the governor's speech. You know, he said some good stuff. So that's a positive. And we always like it when everybody's more in agreement. So that's why we chose some of the topics we did. There are some that will be of no surprise to those of you who have been following state legislative activity so far this biennium. One is Assembly Bill 260, which would require the state's high schools and some of its colleges to accept pre-participation physicals for athletes that are conducted by a chiropractor. There is nothing on the state books right now that say that chiros can't do sports physicals per se. But what happens right now is that oftentimes there's a chiropractic organization that approaches the WIAA, which is the state's high school affiliated group, that they want to allow chiros to do the forms that that students that want to participate in high school athletics need to fill out as part of their physical. And the WIAA has said, well, no, we'd rather leave physicians and those on the physician team to do that instead. So what AB 260 does is it would mandate that the schools would no longer have a choice to decide who would be acceptable for doing these physicals. So there's a bill there. We believe we're in good shape in getting that stuff taken out of the bill. There's other parts of that bill that are probably going to survive, but we believe we're in good shape there, and that's in part because the physicians have done such a good job. There's the perennial issue or semi-annual issue, it would seem, of the fee schedule and workers' comp. Our work comp system works very well in the state, provides great care, a lot of good access to care. Physicians and others help get injured workers back on the job faster and happier, less need of repeat care, and businesses just received a $170 million reduction in their premiums last October. So the system works well, and we're trying to kind of push back on some of the more greedy aspects of some in the work comp system that are trying to just squeeze money from anywhere that they can. Even if it's not justified, it might be harmful. So we're pushing on that. There's another bill that deals with nursing and changing some of the requirements that certain nurses work in collaboration with physicians. When you talk with most physicians around the state, whether they're in small shops or large systems, they agree that collaboration among the healthcare team is very important for the quality of care that a patient gets. And so anything that chips away on that is something that we find very troubling. Extra troubling on that issue was when this bill was first proposed, it was portrayed as a bill that was just changing the titles of nursing and didn't really get into substantive changes. And then when we started digging, we found out there were quite substantive changes. And so we were kind of pushing back on that. And then on a proactive note and being supportive, the next round of HOPE agenda bills, or the heroin and opiate prevention and education package of bills that Representative John Nygren has championed over the last 5 years. There's another bill coming up at the end of this session that the Medical Society supports and physicians across the state are supporting. And so that was the positive part of Dr. Day, where we wanted to continue to let the legislature know that partnership with physicians on fighting the drug overdose problem is something that is a very high priority for the profession across the state. We are there for patients. Physicians want to help be part of the proactive solutions to get out from under this problem. It's going to take a few more years at least, but physicians are happy to be part of that, and therefore we were happy to support that bill going forward, which has been introduced as Assembly Bill 907. So we'll be looking at that down the road as well. So very, very pleased with the response from Dr. Day, and we're still getting the feedback from the legislators and the staff about what's going on, and the proof will, of course, be in what happens at the end of this legislative session, which is coming up soon. Not soon enough for some, but coming up soon.
Yeah, it's been a very, very busy busy few months here and related to healthcare, and we've certainly been up around the Hill and in D.C. Mark, any other state-level issues that we're watching that you want to make sure our listeners are aware of?
Well, you know, it's a good question, because when you get to the end of a legislative session, especially at the state level, the last month is always kind of crazy. So I kind of put it in two buckets, and, stay tuned for Medigram and things that come out more regularly for any kind of news of the day. If there's an alert on something that we really need some physician pushes on, we'll do a special alert by email that we've done in the past, but so I guess I'd call it, there's sudden defense that you have to play sometimes, where ideas come out of the blue that someone's either trying to sneak through, or they have a legitimate idea, they just don't realize the ramifications. So it's not like we're, that there's people lurking in the bushes trying to get bills done at the last minute in a nefarious way. But oftentimes there are bills that come forward that we really have to be careful about going through, because the unintended consequences can be pretty significant. And then if there's something even on the offense side, that sometimes bills will all of a sudden get life where we didn't think there would be some, or there's an idea that comes out of somewhere because of some sudden piece of news or whatever that we think is a good idea, we're on the lookout for those as well to help others that are in the state legislative arena champion those ideas too. So that's kind of the sudden defense, sudden offense as we head into the last 5 weeks.
And Lisa, you're headed back to D.C. again in a few weeks. What's your agenda there?
Sure. So myself and H.J. Waka are going from the Society, along with a couple of our board leaders, to the American Medical Association National Advocacy Conference. Again, that'll be my first time attending that. I'm really looking forward to spending some more time with some of our members, but also connecting with my peers from other state medical societies, being able to establish a rapport with them, but most importantly, get a sense of what's happening in other states and see opportunities for us to learn from their experiences and to work together. One of the partnerships that I quickly established was with our Iowa Medical Society, given that we have a current issue that's only affecting both Wisconsin and Iowa. So being able to put a name with a face with someone I've been talking to for several months will be helpful. And really, aside from that aspect of it, of course, we're going to be spending time on Capitol Hill, as we always do when we're in Washington. But this time I have some members with me, so that makes it a little bit different. I think that makes it a little bit stronger. And really what our agenda is going to be focused on is looking at a couple of issues. So we have a new proposed rule from the Department of Labor, of all places, that deals with association health plans. And so to take a step back in terms of why this is important is twofold. One, since there's been a lack of a legislative appetite to pass legislation that continues to chip away at the Affordable Care Act, the administration now has looked at what can they do through their existing executive authority. So what can the agencies do on their own? And that's where we get into the regulatory space. So the association health plan rule is kind of in that vein of looking at some potential workarounds from the Affordable Care Act. And why we care about this is because the Society Holdings Corporation currently has an association health plan that we want to continue to see grow and thrive as a mechanism for access for our members and their families. We have a little over 1,100 lives that are covered under our plan, and the proposed rule, so this is in draft form, but the draft would make it impossible for our existing plan to continue to operate, and that would be a really big problem. So in addition to the staff that I mentioned that are going, we're going to have Linda Scythe from our Holdings Corporation be there with us so we can speak to that issue a little bit more in detail. And so the plan is to work with our congressional delegation to ultimately have the rule changed. So stay tuned. That process is going to take a few months, if not potentially much, much longer. But it is something that's very important to us here at the Society. We're also going to be talking about our disparity in Medicare reimbursement. This is the issue I alluded to, where Wisconsin and Iowa right now have a huge gap between the salaries that we pay physicians and what they are reimbursed for that care they provide in Medicare. So we've been working to really narrow and eliminate that gap, and it's been a slog. This is something that certainly predates my time at the Society, and we've been working with our members on this issue, along with obviously the members of our congressional delegation. And we're at a point where we actually have some legislative text that was introduced last year, and I'm really excited that we had our entire delegation sign on to that, minus the speaker, given that the speaker tends not to put his name on bills. But that being said, we do have some favorable language that doesn't mirror that bill that could be part of the omnibus budget package that requires passage before next week. And so like any large bill, there can be some goodies that are put in at the last minute. We're hoping that one of the agreed upon issues is the Medicare extenders package, and that would address this GPCI issue, the geographic pricing cost index. So hopefully we can cross this one off our list. If not, we're going to continue to talk to the delegation about the need to get this fixed so that we don't have physicians seeing Wisconsin and Iowa as places they don't want to practice medicine, especially important as we see our demographics grow with respect to the number of patients that are going to be Medicare eligible. We don't want this to become an access problem. And another issue that we're hoping winds its way into the budget bill is funding for community health centers. This is something we've been talking about for a long time. The health centers are a real critical piece of the healthcare safety net, and their federal funding expired at the end of last September, and that funding allows them to take care of uninsured patients on a sliding fee schedule and help keep people out of the emergency departments and get them connected to a medical home. So why this is important is that we have a number of partnerships throughout the state with our community health centers, and the overall healthcare system really benefits from them staying sustainable so that we can help people use the healthcare system appropriately. So hopefully next week we'll bring good news on some of these longstanding priorities. If not, then we'll continue our diligence, and that's where our members come into play. This being an election year presents an opportunity for increased visibility with both our state and federal incumbent legislators and candidates alike, so we can continue to make the case there for them.
One last topic I wanted to touch on today is the upcoming primary for Supreme Court Justice. It's on February 20th, and this is to replace the outgoing Justice Michael Gableman, who's considered to be part of the 5-2 conservative majority on the court. So we've got Madison attorney Tim Burns, Waukee County Circuit Judge Rebecca Dallet, and Sauk County Circuit Judge Michael Skrinak. What are your thoughts or observations about the race?
Yeah, so a healthcare podcast talking about election stuff, and that's kind of what happens when you have advocacy people that work for you. And probably down the road, I'd say in the summer, we're probably going to talk a lot more about elections and things that happen, because it is so important that physicians have their voices heard. So, you know, the spring primary is always one where you have low turnout. You don't really have a lot going on, and oftentimes it's more local races. For the primary this time around, this is the highest profile highest profile race that shows up on the spring ballot is Supreme Court. Supreme Court justices in Wisconsin run for 10-year terms, so it's kind of a big deal, because once you elect somebody, you have to wait a decade before you get a chance to vote on that person again, most likely. This one around is going to be interesting, because you have three very interesting candidates that, again, probably are emblematic of the entire political spectrum. You have Attorney Burns, who seems willing to dig into the political fray as much as possible, talking about specific issues, talking about cases that that have come before the court and how he would have ruled and things he wants to do going forward. You have Michael Scrinok, who was very involved when he was in private practice on the Act 10 lawsuits that happened as part of Governor Walker's tumultuous first term when it came to unions and labor and things like that. And he was involved on the private practice side before embarking into the private sector. And then Judge Dallet from Milwaukee, you know, kind of not as high profile than the other two, in part because doesn't necessarily want to go out there and ruffle feathers and say things, but is one of the first ones to get ads up on social media, and it'll be an interesting race to see what happens on the 20th. Once that gets whittled down, the top two will advance to the April 3rd general election, and I'll tell you, there'll be a lot of paid for media that you'll see on TV, and you'll wonder why on earth in March you're seeing all these election ads. And it's because you're going to need to go out and vote on April 3rd again. So something we're going to keep an eye on, obviously. You know, again, our membership is very different depending where they are politically. And so we want to make sure that all physicians understand the importance of the race and how they should be paying attention and then make their decisions when they go vote on those Tuesdays.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really important that our members are really civically engaged. And you know, we have an issue right before us that shows us how important the state Supreme Court can be. They are, you know, in a position to make decisions that are impacting the practice of medicine in Wisconsin. And we want to continue to have Wisconsin be the best place for people to practice medicine. And, you know, ultimately there is sometimes a judicial role in that. So take your time and do your diligence where you can to learn a little bit more about the candidates. And then we want you to actively go out and vote and be part of the process.
You know, and one of the, just to, again, for down the road, we'll talk about this, but one of the most important cases nationally is the partisan gerrymandering case that's pending before the U.S. Supreme Court that comes from Wisconsin. The course name is Gill versus Whitford. And it turns out that Whitford is Bill Whitford, who was actually my contracts prof at law school when I was at UW, getting that fine law degree. And if you took that contracts class, it would not surprise you whatsoever that Bill Whitford is taking a gerrymandering case all the way to the Supreme Court. So interesting times that, you know, Wisconsin tends to outpunch itself nationally when it comes to issues or influence. And certainly that's a case that's going to have huge ramifications on Wisconsin specifically, with the potential that there might be a chance that the state assembly has to redraw all 99 seats, or it could be more tailored. And if you redraw the assembly seats, do you have to redraw the 33 Senate seats? Stay tuned. We have our eyes on the judiciary as well as the other two branches of government. So just all part of the fun that comes for advocating for physicians and dealing with healthcare.
Well, there'll be more fun to come. That will wrap up our inaugural edition of WISMED On Call. I think we set the bar very high. Set some precedent, broke some records. Mark admitted he's a lawyer, so I think we got that out of the way. If you like what you heard, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or visit our website at www.wisconsinmedicalsociety.org. If you've got suggestions or feedback, send an email to communications@wismed, that's W-I-S-M-E-D.org. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you all for listening.